This is the Closet Geek episode 107 for November 19th, 2015.
Hey, this is Kristen Huey, and you're listening to the Closet Geek.
Closet Geek, coming to you each week in Closet Geek. All things of geeks critiqued in Closet Geek. Comics and games and tech in Closet Geek. Lego, Star Wars, Star Trek, and Closet Geek. We are not nerds, we have some social skills to call our own. Closet Geek!
Go ahead, Barry.
I thought you were going to do it, but you know.
Hello, welcome to the Closet Geek, where geeks come out. The podcast where four brothers have united their powers to become the four horsemen of geek to bring you the best and latest geeky news. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and with me tonight I have just two of my brothers, Ryan and Michael, who's not on the screen because he's fixing noodles. Here he is!
Oh, there he is.
He's coming!
Okay, so the little delay was I was goofing off and doing this kind of deep demonic voice where I was mouthing the microphone and saying we were the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and then he put me on the spot and I totally blanked.
You're like, what was I supposed to do again? That's okay, we still love you. All right, well, let's go to the first segment of the show.
This week in Geek.
This is This Week in Geek, where we talk about things we did geeky throughout the week, things we love, and things we could recommend for you, our fellow listeners, to check out. And then we'd love to hear back and whether you think our recommendations stink or that they're good.
Yes, please respond.
Please respond. Talk to us. So, what'd you do with geeky this week, my friend?
Well, it's funny. It's not funny, but I was just thinking about John. And John's.
It is funny.
It's funny. John is. Let's be honest. He's kind of funny.
He's kind of funny.
All right. Well, I was thinking about him because he is the one who read Ready Player One. And I am currently. Well, I said earlier last week I was reading it. That's not actually true. I'm actually listening to it.
It's an
audiobook.
That counts as listening.
Yes.
Or reading.
And it's by Will Wheaton. I mean, it's not.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he was. He
narrates it. And he actually narrates a whole lot of books. But
I'm surprised.
Yeah, this is the one he narrates. And I was kind of. John's attitude was kind of like, yeah, I read it. It was all right. Last week, and I can't remember his initial review. Maybe he was more enthusiastic about it. But I think that our experiences are going to be a lot different because John read it in his own, people read books and they kind of
imagination.
They kind of put it in their own voices, you know, however they attribute those voices and whatnot.
Yeah, they have their own narratives.
Yeah, and I'm listening to it being narrated by Will Wheaton, and it's so completely entertaining.
Oh,
it's
I bet.
So
does he do a good, does he do a good job?
Oh yeah, he's like the.
I've never listened to anything that he's narrated before. So
he's so professional in what he does. He presents himself. As a professional, and he's enthusiastic about what he reads. Basically, the entire book is about the 80s, growing up in the 80s. I mean,
and
that's not what the book is about, but it's about this whole conspiracy and this techno treasure hunt in the future, like in 2050 or whatever. But
the world and everything related to the treasure hunt deals with the 80s.
Well, this guy who sets up the treasure hunt in virtual reality, it grew up in the 80s just like I did, you know, just like John did, you know, maybe a little bit.
We all did.
Yeah, we were all, I mean, you were born in 84.
Oh, 84. Okay. Yeah. So
yeah,
you
Michael
were born in the 80s. So, we were all raised in the 80s.
Well, you know, because you were our younger siblings, you will get also got the effect of the 80s because of our regurgitation.
That's true.
But anyway, so John was kind of giving me the impression that he was just like, eh, you know, it was fun, but
yeah,
whatever. But I'm like, this is so entertaining. This is so cool. This is like, wow, this is happening. Whoa, this is going on. And this is all part of this conspiracy in this book. I'm really enjoying it. I'm about halfway into the book so far. So there's still a lot of crazy stuff to happen, I'm sure. So really pleased with that book, the audio version. And so that's basically the majority of the geeky stuff I've done.
Any Wookiee bits this week?
Actually, I have received a ton of orders for
Star Wars
Wookiee
coming
stuff.
Up.
Yeah, and they're like, crap, it's a month away, and you're like, and it's Christmas.
Everyone wants it so they can dress up.
I have so many. I'm like seriously concerned about my timelines, you know,
yeah.
In the past I've been kind of like, oh, I'm kind of stressed for a timeline and whatnot, but now people are paying me based off my quotes, and I'm thinking, ooh, I'm running into trouble here. I'm going to have to push back my quote dates, maybe up my price. No, I'm not going to up my prices. I already did that like 3 months ago, and I think that's a good price range right now, but lots of work for me to be doing in the next couple months.
It's an eight-hour day job.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a lot of work. It doesn't – I mean, it's really hard. I should set up a live video feed.
You should.
There you go.
I mean, look at Bill Duran. I mean, he
does his
does
YouTube
tons
videos.
Of
yeah.
Videos and how-tos and whatnot.
It's easy to kind of sit back and go, oh, this guy's entertaining, and oh, he makes some kind of fun stuff. But the amount of time that is put into making all this kind of fun stuff is a lot more than I think a lot of people may realize.
Well, and that's really where the cost comes in is the labor.
Yeah.
You're paying – people are paying for the labor, not necessarily the part.
Not only are you paying for my expertise, but you're also paying for the time to use that expertise to create that product that you
exactly.
really want.
I mean, people can put together a price list of all the materials that are used in making this product, and they'll go, okay – I need silicone, I need fiberglass, I need EVA foam, I need glue, hot glue, whatever. And, okay, my generous product list price comes to $200, say. But you're going to charge me $1,500 for something? That's retarded. I'm not going to pay it. And then it's like, okay.
Now I know why they charge that much.
Go and build it. No, I mean, this is great. You want to build it for $200? That's great. I will encourage you. In fact, if you ask me, I will give you helpful hints. Go build it. And then when you're finished, let's compare end results, and then we can decide what certain labor values are worth to get the end result that you want.
You know, you make a... Well, I was going to say, you make an interesting point really quick is I recently watched a big how-to timeline video by a cosplayer called Lightning Cosplay, and she made this – yeah, she made this Blizzard – yeah, she made this Blizzard cosplay for BlizzCon based off of – I think it was World of Warcraft – I believe,
sure.
or League of Legends, I can't remember. But she went through the whole process, this is what I did and so forth. But what she didn't do until the end is tell you how much it cost and how long it actually took and, you know, to show some of those clips of the process and so forth. And when you're done, you see it and you're just like, this is – you know, movie quality or better, you know, product,
depending on the movie.
That she made cost-wise, well, you know, for like $600 to $750. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of money. But then I'm like, whoa, hold on. That's like $5,000 worth of product because of the time, the 3 months, you know, it takes to do this one outfit.
Let's compare it. Okay. I had to take my car into the shop this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I looked up the parts that they had to put into my vehicle. The parts were relatively not that expensive, comparatively, but you're paying for the mechanic's expertise and equipment and everything he uses to do the job. And that's what adds up, and that's what, unfortunately, I had to pay. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's what you're paying for. And it's the same concept with cosplay. Be like, of course, you as the consumer, you can purchase these items, the same ones that I use, at cost. But, you know, you try to put it together. If, you know, if I try to take my engine apart and put it back together again, it may work. But it may not be the best as it could have been.
Yeah, a three-day project at the shop will turn into a 6-month project for myself.
Yeah, exactly. So
and I'm not saying that I'm like the greatest Wookiee builder of all time. That's not what I'm saying. But my time is valuable, and as an artist, in order to put food on the table, as it were, you know, I may not be doing that right now because my wife works a very lucrative job, but if I was the sole provider of the family, it would be understandable for my prices to go up because I've got all the same expenses as you do, you know, whatever. Anyway, let's move on.
No, we can go off about, you know, yeah. How artists
did you get,
appreciated for their...
Did you get any gaming in this week?
No. Well, I mean, Plants vs. Zombies, does that count?
Totally. Mobile games count.
Yeah, their new expansion came out this week, so I've been playing that. So.
That's cool. Well, you've always been a big fan of that game
anyway. Yes.
So.
Yes, I'm actually looking forward to Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. Which comes out in a couple of months. And it's PlayStation 4 only.
Well, why don't you tell what you purchased? Your purchase was geeky this week.
So
why don't you tell about...
I gotta make sure I can't hear my kids.
Okay, just whisper
okay,
it.
Okay,
just whisper.
I can't hear them. So, what I did was we had... I'm going to just make a long story short and say we put a PlayStation 4 on layaway.
Yay! Yay!
So we have a PlayStation 4 now, and it's for Christmas, and we have stuff for myself, my kids, both my son and my daughter, and so now I will be the third of four horsemen of the apocalypse, geek apocalypse.
I don't.
That has a
PS4. And I'm the odd man out.
Yes, Barry still needs the PS4.
But you know what? I do 95% of my gaming on my PC now,
yeah.
And I have a souped up gaming PC, so
that's true. Yeah, and you did.
But you know what? I didn't pay for that.
That's
either.
True. Yeah. You won that.
I won it.
From
I know.
Birdhouse. Wait, it was
Doghouse.
No, Doghouse.
Doghouse Systems. Yeah, they're awesome, and so you should go check them out. DoghouseSystems.com. They make great gaming PCs.
They do, and they're really nice gaming PCs. So that
nice.
Is basically my week. I have lots of Wookiee orders to fill. I think that I will this weekend. I will pretty much be in the shop all day long, trying to get those out so I can mail them, and hopefully, you know, they'll get there by Thanksgiving. So, you know, Thanksgiving weekend is big for a lot of people. It's big for a lot of people, but. In the cosplay area, this is time where people have off from work when they can work on their cosplay.
So they want to get all their projects lined up.
So they want stuff. They want their stuff for Thanksgiving
their
weekend. So I've got a lot of stuff to mail on Monday, and hopefully it'll be there for them on Thanksgiving. So
Wow. Awesome. Very cool.
All right, Mike. What'd you do geeky this week?
All right. Well.
Oh, but first, oh. Sorry.
What?
I just want to do a vocal shout out to Fringed Loop in the chat room. He's been chatting. So,
nice.
Hi, Fringed Loop.
Sweet.
And feel free to ask us any questions related to what we're talking about, or if you want to know our opinion on something.
There you go.
So. All right.
We will give our opinions.
Yeah, we that's what we're
not
do.
Afraid.
It's all about
like them or not.
Geeky news and opinuendo. But yeah, so this week I've done a pretty decent amount. So Kathy surprised me and she says, "You know, I want to watch American Horror Story." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that's you know a show
what?
That." Became quite
the current
popular.
Season or
no,
starting at season one?
We started with season one,
okay.
Episode one.
But
and
I've heard that
it
season one's like the only good season, though.
You know, that's what I've heard. Well,
I have my own opinions. I'll share.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. It is each season is a standalone story. So you get all, you know, in that 13 episodes for the season, you get a story from beginning to end. And then the next season is a new story.
Same actors, yeah, mostly.
Well,
a few
sometimes.
Of the same actors.
A few of the same
I
actors.
I think season
maybe
two and
just
three might
two.
Have crossover.
Maybe just two
but,
of the same actors?
Maybe. I haven't watched season... I just finished season one.
Okay.
But it's been pretty awesome. We turn off all the lights and, you know, watch the show. And I have... LED displays behind my TV, so I have this like red display, so it's the whole wall is red, and then you have the TV, so it's backlit. It's pretty fun. It kind of makes a nice ambiance, but we've been really happy with season one, and while we have heard the other seasons quote unquote aren't as good, we will see for ourselves.
Well, I've watched the first four, because this recent one's the fifth season, which is Hotel.
Season five.
I've heard the most recent one is like the worst one of them all.
It is. In fact, we have watched my wife and I, mostly my wife. I've kind of watched a few. The first season was good. Second season was good. Third season was good. It was about the witches. Actually, I liked the third season. Fourth season was Freak Show.
But the Freak Show.
Which was
a
little bit different with the carnies and stuff. And then this fifth season is the Hotel with Lady Gaga. And they're like, ooh, Lady Gaga, you know, everyone.
She'll bring in the watchers.
Yeah.
No, people are fleeing from the show because of her.
I wouldn't say it's because of her. I think it's just the whole show is done.
The whole premise.
Stick a fork in it. It's done.
Yeah.
Because
season one was fantastic.
We've watched, well, I shouldn't say me because I haven't watched all of them, but my wife has watched every single episode of all four seasons. And then the fifth season came around and she's like, we don't need to record that anymore. So she actually canceled recording it. So we're not going to watch any more Horror Story.
That's a big deal after four seasons.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, it's like I said, it's a very interesting format that each season is its own story. But moving on, we really enjoyed season one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah, and talking about seasons, anime, of course. I've been watching One Punch Man.
I've seen so many crazy memes on that show.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of it seems to be getting a lot of traction in social media.
It's because it has all the just classic aspects of like the anti-hero. He's such a what an unlucky guy. He's like the most amazing superhero that could ever be, and nobody knows who he is. He's like so underappreciated.
Like come on, guys.
You get a character who's like you know, sensei, you know, teach me how you can do it. Teach me everything you can do. And he's like, okay, you really want to know what I do? I'm not going to spoil anything. But, you know, everybody's
super powered.
Yeah. Well, everybody super pays strength. Attention to his sidekick, basically. And everybody thinks his sidekick is so amazing. And yet he always comes to save the day. And so, but it's just, the artwork is great. The music is great. It's just, they've made a masterpiece of classic superhero anime. And I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. I was like, it's another show. But I was going to watch an episode. It was the only show I hadn't seen to do this anime review that I'm going to do with Reviews versus the World on Saturday this week. And so I was like, oh, I'll watch episode one. I watched episode one. I'm like, oh, good, there's six more. You know? so it really is like point, point, more, more, more. So yeah. I've really enjoyed that. I'm watching second season of Haikyuu, which is the volleyball sports-themed anime. Yeah, I love the underdogs. Go, go. It's so much.
Yay!
Of course, trying to finish up Basilisk. Mainly because I kind of know what's going to happen. It's like rewatching a show you haven't seen in a decade, but didn't really care that much the first time I watched it. The animation style is great. The story's cliche, in my opinion. We'll see. It's getting a 5.5 so far. Took my wife out to go see James Bond Spectre. So got my Bond geek on. I thought it was a fitting finale for Daniel Craig as Bond.
Daniel Craig. This is his last one.
Dude,
yes.
It had like every single thing you love about Bond films in the film. It had it had like the resorts up in the mountains. It had planes, boats. You know, it's like every single point of transportation you could think of.
Daniel Craig basically said that he was done and this would be his last, and he's just
you can tell they definitely created it as a finale, and Daniel Craig as
but
Bond
you know what?
Is done. You it,
but
it wrapped
you know what?
Up
you
in
can
nice
do that.
Bow.
You could do that with Bond because it's just like there's been so many different Bonds. That's one of the characters out there that you're like, oh, it's okay. It's time for a new actor to play James Bond.
It's James Bond and Doctor Who, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I felt like it really was a good classic Bond feel. You know, I was like, oh,
cool, good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I watched The Martian.
Oh,
something else.
Did you read the Martian?
I read the book.
But it's
the and my wife took me out for my birthday yesterday, and we watched The Martian.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was very fun. Cool. I think I enjoyed it more than she did because I knew all the details behind it.
Oh, yeah. You're like, you understood the nuance.
Yeah, and sometimes when I read a book, I kind of think, oh, you know, they're not following the story and whatnot and such like that. But really, for The Martian, I feel like the movie was kind of like the Cliff Notes version. I mean, it had all the essential information you need for the movie. And it was a great movie on it all its own, but there's the unabridged version that you can read as a book, right? And so I felt like I was in the know, and I was like, I know why he's doing this, even though it doesn't discuss it in a movie. He's doing certain things, and you're like, okay, this spaceman's doing certain things with his space truck. I'm like, I know what's going on.
Well, so that's how I felt about watching Harry Potter. Is you understand all the nuance why are these characters interacting that way? Why are they choosing to do that? What are these items that are in the background or that the characters have? And you know the backstory of like the motorcycle or the broom all these items. And so it's the exact same premise. If a film is done well, it does I think you make a good point. It feels more like the Cliff Notes version. That way it feels like the book, but definitely has its own appeal.
So we have some questions from the chat room.
Sure, sure.
What?
So C-O-T-D Broski.
Broski.
He has a question referring to Fallout and a quote that is used for, in Fallout. And the quote reads, "All right, I have never advocated war except as a means of peace. So seek peace, but prepare for war, because war never changes. War is like winter, and winter is coming." And that's Ulysses S. Grant. And so what Broski wants to know is, what do we think this quote means in regards to nuclear warfare, like in, you know, the everything?
Well, no, it's a good point. Well, what's interesting is you use that quote, and
because winter is coming, nuclear. Yeah.
Well,
I
was going to say there's a reason George R. R. Martin used that for the Starks' house saying.
Ooh.
Is winter is coming. It's a play on the fact that eventually the sky darkens and it's inevitable long winters. Just, you know, in that whole land of Westeros, it's like long winters, long summers. And right now we are in that long summer. And eventually something's going to happen. We know that there's a possibility of nuclear war still today.
Yeah, it's always a possibility. But, and that's that's what Fallout is all about nuclear war happening and then the world afterwards. So the spring after the winter, so to speak.
Well, perhaps. But
it could also mean...
Oh, let's dive deep.
It could also mean that there is more to come as far as the Fallout series. Because war is never ending. War repeats itself.
Yeah. And it never changes. That's what, war never changes.
You know,
war is...
to talk about Fallout 4, war never changes. For everyone out there playing Fallout 4...
never changes.
Well,
do you feel like it's kind of like it's like another Fallout 3? I mean, Fallout 3 was awesome, but you wanted, I don't know, Fallout 4 just, is it different enough to be a sequel?
I don't know.
Or it could just be a commentary on the kind of the absurdness of saying that war is necessary for peace. It could be kind of like an ever-turning circle where people don't learn from their experiences, and therefore they continue to perpetuate war, go through times. I don't know.
Well, Ulysses S.
Maybe
Grant
that's
himself.
Too,
was
I'm trying to wrap my. I'm trying no. to think, and I lost it. I lost
no,
it.
No, I was gonna say, but yeah, like, Ulysses S. Grant himself was a huge pessimist, and so. Knowing him, the concept of winter coming, what happens in winter, death happens in winter, and everybody goes inside and it's silent out. And, you know, even when he was president, you know, he didn't want to do anything because it was inevitably just going to go downhill.
I guess what I was trying to say is that we all want peace. And we all want it in our own ways, and different countries will want their peace in their own different ways. And the only way to achieve each other's ends is to inevitably clash with somebody else's ideas of what they want. And so in order to achieve what you want, there's always going to be this constant of clash and confrontation, which is war.
But the question is, can it be an ideological only war, or does it have to turn into physical conflict?
Well, no. The question is, what does it mean in regards to the game Fallout 4?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's what we're getting into the modern here.
I think
we get getting deep here on the closing.
Okay. The short answer is, we have no idea.
We have, but it was fun to talk about. Right. So, Broski, that was a good question. So. Another question from Fringe Loop. He says, is Steam Greenlight turning into the YouTuber bait junkyard? So, and what I'm thinking he's meaning by that is, like, it's just like everyone is like greenlight my game on Steam. Well, and like, the most ridiculous, like, there, I've seen some games that get greenlit on Steam, like, well, and I'm like, no, why is this game even being made?
It's like the Google App Store of Steam. Everyone's crap can go there, and if you find good crap, it becomes popular in a bizarre way. Look at Flappy Bird.
Well, yeah, well, but it's more like it's a, see, with the apps, they actually produce it and you can download it and then you can review it if you want. But with Greenlight, it's like they're voting in order to have the game
on Steam.
And so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Read the question again.
The question is Steam Greenlight turning into the YouTuber bait junkyard?
Oh. Well, you know what?
So
it
are like
all
are
depend like, yeah, well, it can.
Are YouTubers getting people to come to their channel or something because they're streamlighting or greenlighting something?
Anytime there's an opportunity to make money, somebody's going to try and market it.
Well,
okay.
Of course.
So, yes, it can. It can, and it may turn into that.
You know,
I actually think it might, because just as an example in my own tiny universe, my kids love YouTube. They watch YouTube more than I watch television.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They are the generation that is going to grow up on YouTube. We are the generation that grew up on television.
You know.
Yeah,
they're the generation that's going to grow up on the internet, YouTube-ish.
Well, which is
and
fine,
so,
because it really depends on what programming your children are going for. Like, I just watched, like, three science programs with Lance on YouTube, because he loves that stuff.
There's huge variety. There's more variety.
Well,
and then,
I think...
what I was trying to say about... Steam is that my son loves Steam games. He has like 2 dozen of them, okay? A lot of Steam games. And he will see
indie games.
Yeah, he will see these YouTube whatever trailers pumping up their game, and he'll go, "Dad, we totally have to play that. Let's get that." And
it's like
the
toy commercial for the gaming
industry. And he is baited. He is hooked into that. And we as older people, you know, kind of have the wisdom to go, okay, I know what that is. That's just bait to get you to go to their site. Like, I'm going to skip that. I'm not really interested. But as a 12-year-old kid, dude, I want that. When I was 12, I was like, whatever came on the commercial, I want that.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's like an interesting social experiment in marketing.
So the answer is yes.
Yes, yes. Fringe to the
sorry, man.
Yes,
it'll eventually go that way. Yes.
So thanks for the questions, guys. That's awesome. Keep them coming. So, Mike, I'm going to cut
you
off.
I LARPed this week and had an interesting story about an awesome
we've been going on about
shot
everything.
So
if it's a cool
LARP story, tell
okay
it.
Super fast LARP story. So dungeon
out
dive
of time, there was an elf.
Oh my gosh. If I throw stuff at you. But we were doing a dungeon dive.
Tunema.
Yeah, seriously.
Tunema.
We use the Castle of Chaos Haunted House as our place of indoor gaming during the winter and cold seasons. That way we can not freeze our butts off during the winter, of course. But there's a large center room in the haunt that has this U-shaped walkway, and there's lots of materials and props and so forth in that section where the U would be, the middle of the U. So you can see through it, but you can't get through it. It's impossible. However, being an archer, I was able to see these, about 7-inch wide gaps that I could technically shoot through as long as I felt I had a good shot. So everyone's going in there. You see the frontline fighters fighting the front line, and all of a sudden I see the caster in the back of the monsters, this specter ghost. You hear him shout out this big spell, and it's referred to as a foot plant spell. So as soon as he puts his foot down, he can basically cast it infinitely until he somehow gets moved or decides to move himself. So I see him plant, I see him shout it. He starts to throw packets, and he's two packets in, and I see his shoulder in this 7-inch gap, 15 feet through this U section, and I'm all the way around. So he doesn't even realize I'm right there. So I have like 3-4 seconds to line up a shot. I take the shot, hit him right in the shoulder. He stumbles, looks at me, and he realizes his big epic foot plant spell to destroy the front line fighters is gone. And, nice. And I'm just, and somebody right behind me is like, nice shot. And I'm like, fist pump. Yeah. and then immediately afterwards, the front line breaks and we win the battle.
Nice.
Only two people saw it, me and the person behind me. Later that night, the NPC's like, who hit me and made me break my foot plant? And I was like, that was me. He's like, that was awesome. So three people. All the PCs have no clue that I basically mm-hmm. saved their butt.
Saved their life.
Because I interrupted the huge
this
spell that was going to destroy the front line.
See, this...
We are the unsung heroes.
This is
I know.
The story of all healers in MMOs.
I know, right?
All the warriors get all the glory. Oh, I totally slayed that dude. But the healer's going like, I healed
you
for 50,000 health points. You know?
I know, right?
There's no way you could have done that without me.
That's what I do. I'm an archer who heals people and gets them up in the middle of the fight.
What needs to happen is you need to have, like, cameras recording it, and then you need to be...
I know, right?
People commentaries going.
And now the bard pulls out his lute. He is a critical hit. He has played a musical song that has destroyed the demon. Oh, and everybody thinks they did it. Everyone thinks they shot the demon. The bard. And the bard gets no recognition. The bard goes off crying in his big pillow.
Oh man, that would be a great YouTube video. Instant viral right there. So,
I just find it interesting that I'm able to pull off these like epic moments and nobody knows, because my friend Travis is this huge 6'7" guy in the front line, 380 pounds, you know, huge warrior just destroying everybody. And I'm this guy in the background going pew pew in comparison, right? That's how I feel sometimes. But
yeah.
I'm the one who saved everybody, and nobody knows it.
That's right. Next time, you should just buy a GoPro and wear it on your head.
Or maybe I should shout out, did you see that? Did you see that?
Look at me. That's me. Up here. Up here. Hey, guys. Hey, you. Hey, guys. Hey. Look up here. Look up here. Yahoo.
Man. Anyway, moving on.
But I got some gaming in this week. The new patch for Heroes of the Storm came out, and with the new hero Cho'Gall, and which is really, really interesting, because Cho'Gall is a two-headed ogre, and you need two people to play the one hero.
We were talking about that last week, yeah.
Which is the only, like, no other MOBAs have ever done anything like this. So it was kind of like, can you do that? And it's just like, well, sure, let's watch. And it's crazy. Everybody is playing Cho'Gall, and you need to have a friend play with you. You can't just like get random strangers. But the cool thing about it is they wanted everybody to have him. And so Cho'Gall, you can't buy him, and you can't, like, either with real money or in-game gold, you have to share him. And how you share him is you have to win two games playing him with another person that already owns Cho'Gall. So you have to play as a team. And once you win two games playing him, then you have him. And then they give you this extra incentive that if you share your Cho'Gall with someone else and you win 4 games, they give you like this, you know, big chest full of gold, like in-game currency. And it's just like, so this whole week, everybody's just been blowing up
good.
In the, you know, the chat room being like, anybody need a Cho'Gall? Anybody need a Cho'Gall? Like, hey, I need a Cho'Gall. And it's, and how it works is that one person controls all the movement and the basic attacks. And but they basically are two full characters in one. So they have this huge health pool. Each head is a separate person. So you have the assassin, which has all these crazy spells. And then you have the warrior side, which also has abilities. So you have two people with one character casting all these abilities off at the same time, and they have this huge health pool. It's like fighting a raid boss in WoW or something like that. And so you can, like, just, if you do it properly, you can just wave your way into a group of people and just, like, you know, do some heavy damage. I tried playing the movement part, which is Cho, and I wasn't very good at that. I'm still learning
you're a Gaul guy.
Well, I'm still learning proper positioning and proper timing, like go in and go out. But when I played the Gaul part where I was just casting the spells, it was lots of fun because I'm like, I don't need to move anything.
That's
just
the
like
easier part. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But it was super fun.
Practice makes perfect, my friend.
And I was super excited because I've been saving my gold up to buy a character, to buy Jaina Proudmoore.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 10,000 gold and always has been. And that's a lot of in-game gold to earn. And I was like at 8,000 gold.
Uh-huh.
And when the patch came out, they're like, oh, and we dropped the price of Jaina down to 4,000 gold. And I was just like, that's huge. They didn't even go down to the next tier, which is 7,000 for characters, they went all the way down to 4. So I jumped on that right away, like, bye. And I bought it with my in-game gold, and now I have enough gold to buy a second character if I wanted to. So I was pretty stoked about that. So got a few games in of Heroes in my passive time, played some Hearthstone, and got my booty kicked some more because I stink at that game for some reason. I keep playing it.
Oh, well, you know, Hearthstone.
Yeah. It's still fun.
I think we all got.
That's the problem. It is fun, but in order to like not like poke your eyes out with daggers, you have to spend so much time. It has to be your only hobby.
Yeah, exactly. But I did a quick review this week of on Sweet Kicks with Bricks with Catacombs. And that's the dungeon diving game where you use little wooden tiles to flick at other wooden tiles to like attack each other, and super super fun game. like the gameplay in that is just ridiculous. Like it was fun just trying to flick it and just like watch people miss just horribly, like because it's all dependent on how you flick it,
right?
And like sometimes you're like right next to him, be like, oh, easy, and you're like, and then for some reason your finger like makes it go this way, and you're like, how is that even possible? And it was a great time. And and how it works is you have one person play all the monsters, and then you have people play the heroes. So I played the monsters against my wife and my brother-in-law, and of course I killed them. Of course. They got to the end room with the dungeon boss, but they died against him. It was super fun. And my recommendation, I don't do a rating system anymore because I didn't really like it. But I'm doing it. Would I recommend you just buy it right away, or would I recommend you maybe you should try it first? And I say this is a buy for everybody because it's super fun. So go buy it. Catacombs by Ezra Games. So super fun. And just a side note, caught up on Flash this week. And super fun.
I've been really enjoying the superhero shows.
Gorilla Grodd made his appearance again in this week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
It'll be nice when gosh, it'll be nice when all the Netflix shows start up. Jessica Jones is starting.
Yeah.
Not for children, oh, yeah. I hear.
It's a mature show.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. I saw the Daredevil. I watched all the Daredevils.
Yeah, which was great.
I enjoyed it. It was good. I wouldn't say great. I would say good.
Okay. I'll validate that.
So I'm good enough for me to want to delve into another character from the same era. So
yeah.
The same world as
right. It'll be very interesting. It's gritty and real and yeah.
With a little extra like superpowery stuff.
That's yeah, right. There you go. We can get a little bit more superpowery. There you go.
Super. Well, that's it for this week in Geek.
Let's go to the lot of everything.
Yeah. Well,
that was we so can touch everywhere, dude.
This we are like all over the board. It's
all
like,
over the place.
See, we don't have John to
this
like.
Is what happens when John's not here?
We ramble, and like I would say, like 70% of what we stuff, what we said was accurate. And John will always listen to the episode going.
He's like,
you guys,
his ears
you were
on.
So wrong. Your information is not accurate.
You didn't read the 7th article to get everything. Right.
No, that's why I said
this is a lot of innuendo.
John is our a news hound. If we don't have him, it basically ends up being the Ryan, Michael, and Barry opinion show.
Yay! For the listeners out there, I bet you do notice as well that when John is here, we let him talk a little bit more.
He informs. I learn stuff from him.
Like,
oh, wow.
He knows a lot.
That dude, that dude's freaking smart. He must work for NASA.
I know. He works for the International Space Station. All right, well, let's at least touch on the next segment of the show, which is this. The Weekly Geek. This is the Weekly Geek where we talk about geeky news. So there were some movie trailers that came out. One movie that just totally looks ridiculous and it's going to bomb horribly in the box office. There was the Gods of Egypt trailer.
Oh my goodness.
I haven't seen that trailer.
It was posted on my wall. My wife posted it on my Facebook
wall. It's got King Leonidas. Egypt. And
yeah, well, it has good.
No, no, the actor. I'm just making a joke.
Oh, I was so confused.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got has pretty well-known actors in it. You know,
well-known actors.
Oh, what's his face that plays Jamie from Game of Thrones? What's his name?
It's basically just a. it's a huge CGI spectacle.
Yeah.
It's just going to be. Watch this movie to watch computer graphics and action.
Do you remember the remake Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
I try not to remember
it's
that.
It's going
it
to be exactly
fun,
like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be this kind of CGI.
What about Immortals? You know, Immortals was the same way, wasn't it?
Immortals. Immortals was interesting.
I'm watching the trailer right now. I'm like, oh no.
There was some interesting bits on Immortals. The acting and the script, the directing was horrible. But there was some, I wouldn't say redeeming bits of Immortals, but there was some interesting bits that. But Mike, you're probably right.
I love Mike's face as he's watching.
I know
it.
I know you can comment. You can comment on. I'm just like watching this, going, oh what?
So I just wanted to mention it.
It's
gonna bomb.
They paid money. This is just a moneymaker for the actors.
It's a popcorn movie.
It's not
a popcorn
gonna
movie.
I will go
and turn off my brain and
watch it for like, ooh, that was a fun fight scene.
I will watch it because I'll be like, ooh, that was pretty.
Yeah, it's funny because, for example, 300 Rise of the Empire, which did actually kind of bad in the box office, but on like Rotten Tomatoes, because the fans liked it so much, it has a fairly midline rating, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually like in the 60s. Actually, let me look it up. So this movie might actually fall into that.
Yeah, I don't really know what I'm watching. So I give it a meh.
Audience score for 300 Rise of an Empire, 52%. So that's pretty much where I see this movie falling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just horrible when you can see the CG lines on the actors. I'm like, okay, somebody needs to clean this up.
No, it's like a television budget CG for a movie.
Yeah. Seriously, that's why I was watching it going, you know, if this was a TV series, I could understand. You know, it seems appropriate for that. But for movies, you want this level of realism.
I think I made a comment, and I don't know where I made it. You guys probably saw it, where I said basically it's that so much CG that they're trying to hide the fact that their script sucks. They're trying to detract. They're like, watch what's
from
on
the story.
Screen. Pay no attention to his dialogue.
You imagine seeing this
like
script,
ooh, shiny.
The actual screenplay. It's like, and then there's 15 minutes of no dialogue, but lots of stuff.
I actually don't think they care. The dudes going in. They're like, we want to give you $10 million to make this film. Like, oh, $10 million to
hold it.
Hard.
You caught yourself.
Bleep that out. Bleep that out.
I'll do that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, something I wanted to mention was that Blizzard is going to be doing their first stress test with Overwatch this weekend. So, for those of you that have not received your beta invite yet, you may receive one at least for this weekend. For their big stress test, so they're going to be doing their big update tonight, I believe, and so they'll probably be sending out a wave of invites tomorrow, and I desperately hope I get invited, because I want to play this game.
Well, they call it a...
Can't hear you, Ryan. You're muted, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, another cool thing. Did I just...
Oh, go ahead.
What's the last thing you heard? I don't remember muting myself.
The cuckoo clock.
Okay, that's why I muted. All right, I was going to say this is actually making a lot of traction in the cosplay circles because Overwatch Blizzard has released complete 360 turnarounds of all the characters and color schemes of all of the characters, and so cosplayers are getting all this information to make the characters. So I follow that. I try to keep up on the cosplay of that. And I have actually considered, making my own Overwatch cosplay. But
which one?
Well, the problem is it's so popular that everybody's going to be doing it.
Everybody's going to be doing it.
I don't like
it,
to do that. I don't like to do something that everybody's doing.
Yeah.
But their
character designs are so cool.
They
though.
Are cool. If I were to do one, I think the ninja guy is cool. I can't remember.
Genji.
Yeah, he's cool, but I probably wouldn't do him. I would probably do something.
I think you'd look good as either Soldier 76.
Yes, that is exactly who I was thinking.
Yeah,
Soldier 76 is more my style.
Yeah, and he's one of the characters I really want to play. Him and McCree, who's
the cowboy guy. Yeah, I was the cowboy guy. He's kind of translating to cosplay. He's kind of generic, cowboyish. He doesn't really stand out as much as like. 76.
But Soldier 76 has that like, cool mask and everything.
Yeah, the white anime hair and the huge gun.
Yeah.
And the gasoline station 76. That was a gas station, right? 76. The gas station.
Oh, yeah. Phillips.
Google it.
Phillips 66?
Phillips. There's Phillips 66.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Or I don't think 70.
Well,
Global
76?
Yeah.
It's the same. 76 gas station. Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
It is a gas station. It was a chain of gas stations in the United States.
Okay.
That ended in 2012.
Okay. So.
Anyway.
Anyway, that was lame.
I knew it. Because I grew up in the 80s.
That's right. Well, it is running a little bit later, so shall we just...
let's do it.
Let's go to other stuff to go over, but...
Geeky Trivia!
We shot the breeze so much we skipped news altogether.
Oh, it's perfect. This is the way. This is good. All right, this is light.
All right.
So
this is Geeky Trivia, listeners, and people in the chat room. So Ryan is we all take a week each week, taking turns on doing different Geeky Trivia, and when we say Geeky Trivia, it's a very broad spectrum.
Yeah.
So. And Ryan is in charge this week. So what are we going to do this week?
Well, because I have been reading Ready Player One, which is all about 80s trivia, we are going to do some 80 movies trivia.
Yeah, woo!
And we all know who wins 80 movies trivia.
Bring it on.
For some reason. I don't know why.
All right.
Don't get your hopes up. I'll fall on this time.
Trivia. Michael,
make sure you have pencil and paper.
Michael, oh yes, Michael has won 80s trivia. I think every single time it has come up.
Every single time.
I don't know why. It was ingrained in my memory before I forget everything. I forgot everything in the 90s.
Unless it was Mighty Python specific, because
right,
I won that.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Question number one.
Okay.
What special talent did Molly Ringwald have in The Breakfast Club?
She could put lipstick on with her boobs.
Yes, Barry.
Yeah, he started it, so I wasn't going to steal it.
That's a good one.
Oops.
I dropped my pen. All right. What was the very first James Bond movie that was shown in the 80s?
No, Never Say Never Again.
No.
Live another die.
I thought it was Never Say Never.
I will hum the theme song for you.
Oh, okay.
Diamonds Are
right.
Forever.
La la la.
What the heck?
For your eyes only.
For your eyes only.
Okay, that was awful. Oh, I'm so embarrassed now. Please delete that out of the podcast. All right.
I thought it was I guess Never Say Never Again, I guess, came out in 84. I didn't know For Your Eyes Only.
All right, Michael, since you think you know James Bond movies, how many James Bond movies came out in the 80s?
12 or I'm just guessing.
Oh. The answer is 5.
Oh.
For Your Eyes Only.
I forgot about
Octopussy.
Oh.
A View to a Kill.
Yes.
The Living Daylights and License to Kill. Name the actress who played the pretty blonde girl Elliot danced with in E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Drew Barrymore?
No. His sister.
Oh, the girl? The actress?
The pretty blonde girl that he danced with in E.T.?
Oh, that.
I don't know.
It was...
Yikes.
Erika Eleniak, who went on to be one of the blonde bombshells in Baywatch.
Oh. Nice.
B character.
Yeah. How many Nightmare on Elm Street movies were made in the 80s? How many?
In the 80s?
Three. Yeah. Four.
It was actually 5.
Nightmare on Elm Street in
84.
Yeah.
Elm Street Part 2, 85.
Oh, wow.
Part 3, 87. Part 4, 88. Part 5, 89. And there's two more.
Those were
Those were close together. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
All right. All right, here's what y'all are gonna know.
We are bombing this hardcore.
You both are gonna know this, so get ready.
All right,
okay.
In The Empire Strikes Back, what was chewing on the power cables of the Millennium Falcon in the asteroid cave?
The bats thing.
The Minox.
The swamp.
Michael Minox.
I had to think about that one.
Couldn't remember what they were called.
What was the license plate number on the Ghostbusters car?
Ecto-1.
Tie.
Oh, come on.
In Back to the Future, where did Doc Brown get the plutonium?
From the Iranians.
Iranians. No, Syrians.
No.
Wrong country.
The
Pakistanians.
No. Think Africa, next to Egypt.
Africa? Oh, gosh. The Liberians. Libyans.
Close. Libyan. There you go. Libyans.
Dang it.
Libyans. All right. Why did they give him?
Countries with... What,
why did they give
him? Because they were going to... He was going to... He promised to make them a bomb.
Correct.
Oh.
All right.
That was one I remember.
In Empire Strikes Back, when the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi said that Luke was the last hope for the Empire, who was Yoda referring to when he said, "No, there is another"?
Leia.
Leia?
Michael.
Aww.
All right. What god were the thuggies worshiping in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Bali.
Close.
Bali Ma? Shiva?
Kali.
Kali. Dang it. Well, Ma is like praise.
I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie in the 80s.
Okay.
Or after, thereafter. Porky's.
Yeah.
Why did they call meat Tuparello meat? Why did they call him meat?
Why did they call him meat? Oh my gosh, it's been so long since I've seen that. I've only seen it once.
Ate a lot of meat.
Okay, well, maybe I should skip that question.
Because he had meat.
Yeah, okay, let's
put your
mind in the gutter, and that is
friendly.
The answer. All right,
I know
aliens.
The answer.
Aliens.
Yes, aliens. Okay.
James Cameron.
What was...
Scorny Weaver.
What was Newt's real name? Not the actress, the character.
Elizabeth? No.
No,
I'll give you points for the actress too.
Oh, the actress, I don't know her name.
Rebecca Jordan.
Rebecca.
Played by Carrie Henn.
Yeah.
I think Carrie Henn's like a school teacher now. Anyway, in The Breakfast Club, what does Ally Sheedy do to decorate her picture?
Oh,
lice or not dandruff?
Dandruff. I gave that to them via the video. People,
I will be honest. I have only watched the Breakfast Club like twice,
what?
Maybe three times.
Dude, John Hughes films are all about the 80s.
It's not a big favorite of mine. Shoot me. Enjoy it. It's just not a favorite.
All right, next one.
What were Mouth and Chunk's real names in The Goonies? Mouth's real name was what, and Chunk's real name was what?
Lawrence was Chunk's name.
Lawrence was Chuck, yes. Michael, 1 point.
And
Mouth was like
Steve. No, not Steve.
No,
Steve. Hey, Steve.
Mouth was Clark.
Clark.
All right.
Well, they said Lawrence's name a lot more.
Yeah. They didn't call Mouth Clark very
much. All right. I was going to have another Breakfast Club one, but you probably don't know.
Okay.
Ask it.
Yeah.
In The Breakfast Club, what did Brian try to kill himself with?
a spoon. I don't know.
I'm leaving now.
A gun?
He had it in his locker. It was a gun, but what kind of gun?
It was a BB gun.
It was a flare gun.
I don't know. Man, I told you I haven't seen that one in so long.
That wouldn't work very well.
Sorry, all you 80s listeners. I feel bad.
In the Labyrinth.
Okay, we know this one.
What was the name of Sarah's brother?
Toby.
Barry. Toby.
Oh, come on. Our lips were moving at the same time.
All right. In The Little Mermaid, which came out in 1989.
Awesome.
What was Scuttle's name for a fork?
A dingle bopper.
No.
A dingle hopper.
Michael.
A dingle
not
hopper.
A, not
it.
A thingamabob.
Fail. Barry, go back to Disney.
And it's
grade
not a
school.
Who's it and what's it either.
Galore.
All right. I think Michael saw this movie, Splash.
Yeah,
I've seen Splash.
The pretty blonde mermaid chooses which street name to be her own, which she decides her name will be.
Barbara? No.
A street name? Have you ever heard a street name Barbara?
Yes.
I bet you there's one out there somewhere.
I'm sure there's lots of streets out there.
New York City, man.
Broadway.
Madison.
No.
Madison.
Oh, Madison.
Madison.
You say it, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Madison!
All
Madison!
Right. In the Black Cauldron.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh.
Who was the voice for Elenwy?
No, that's the little girl, right? Or
yeah.
I don't know who was voice.
Elenwy was the little girl, Princess
right.
Ellen in the
but
Black
I could
the princess.
I don't know who the actress was.
Okay, let's skip that. Why was it controversial at the time? When it was
because it
revealed,
wasn't a musical.
When
no.
It was revealed who the actress was.
Oh.
Because she was transgendered. I don't know why.
No. This is the 80s, dude. It was because the actress was 34 years old.
Oh,
and
voicing a little girl.
A little girl. Yes.
Why is that
so
controversial? Isn't that normal?
Because she's old. Her name was Susan Sheridan.
Oh, Susan Sheridan.
No, not Susan Sarandon.
No, I didn't say Susan.
All right.
And I feel like I'm not from the 80s.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Better Off Dead?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. In Better Off Dead, what was the name of Lane's younger brother?
Ooh, gosh. Oh, the inventor, the mail order inventor boy.
That's right.
Lars. No, I'm just kidding.
He has a weird name. It's weird. And it's probably not his real name. It's just his nickname. It's the only time he called him it. One time in the film.
That's right.
I can't remember.
Badger.
Oh, Badger. Okay.
All right.
That's right.
In the Empire Strikes Back.
I could do other Better Off Dead stuff.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry. I apparently did that question twice.
Oh, okay.
Who was Yoda referring to when he says, no, there is another?
Leia!
Oops. in Back to the Future, how many gigawatts of electricity did Doc Brown need?
1.21.
Oh, Barry had the inflection. Michael had the accuracy.
1.21 gigawatts.
Name all the Ghostbusters.
Ray,
Egon
Ray, and Spengler.
Sp- Spangler and
Ed. Dang it, Winston.
Black one. Winston.
Okay, that's three for Michael and two for. I mean, two for Michael and three for Barry.
What?
All right.
Oh, I guess he got them first.
He got something. Three first, and you got the two. Oh. So deal with it.
Go Ray.
All right.
Egon.
What was the model of the Terminator in the original movie?
The T-500.
No.
T-100.
What? Fail.
T-50?
1,000.
I'm a T-800 Cyberdyne Systems Model 101.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm
all right. Goonies.
Goonies. All right.
Fratelli's due to escape jail.
They lit a fire and they escaped out of it. Their mom came and they jumped in the car and then they raced off.
Yes, but what happened before that in order for the cell to open?
They try to get the keys the old fashioned way with a hook and string type of thing?
No.
He
faked hanging himself.
Oh, that's right.
I'm like, isn't it interesting how you don't remember certain pieces of the film? And you're like,
who the key master in Ghostbusters?
Are you key master?
Rick
Moranis.
Yes, Rick Moranis. What was his character's name?
Louis
Tully.
Louis. Focus.
Lewis.
Who was the gatekeeper?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Dana Sterling.
Dana.
Sterling.
Bear.
Dana Bear. Bear. Dana.
Barrett.
Dana. There is no Dana. Only Zool.
What a lovely thing.
In Goonies, what brand of candy bar did Chunk give to Sloth?
Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
All
yeah.
Right, Barry.
Three Musketeers.
Gremlins.
Oh, Christmas films.
Mogwai. Gizmo.
Shush.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. I have Gremlins listed, but it's not a Gremlins question.
You can't feed them after midnight. No bright
it's
lights
actually
and no water.
A Grease 2 question. Weird. All
Grease
right. Let's,
question.
all right. Oh, no, I got it mixed up. Okay.
Okay.
I read it wrong. The main street in Back to the Future was also the main street in what other 80s movie? That was Gremlins. And so I can't really say that. So I screwed it up. I failed. But another Back to the Future question. What brand of underwear is Marty wearing?
Calvin Klein.
Yeah. That is true.
Calvin.
And
why is it written on your underwear?
Why is it written on your underwear?
In The Karate Kid. When Daniel was painting Miyagi's house, what color did he use?
Green.
Green is correct. Holy moly. And that's it for Geeky Trivia.
Man, that was hard.
Do we have any
hard.
Guesses who wins?
Barry.
Me.
It was only a matter of 3 points.
Oh.
Michael wins.
Ah, boo.
You know, though, it's...
He is the reigning 80s champion.
Yeah, but even so, I begrudgingly take this time because we sucked on a lot of those questions.
I was trying to challenge you.
You definitely challenged me with my non-knowledge of the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, man, you got to go watch that.
Well, I'm like, I'm going to have to re-watch all the Brat Pack stuff.
Well, that's it for the Closet Geek. And thank you for listening. Thank you for those that joined us in the chat room and with your questions, those that asked questions like Broski and Fringed Loop. Thank you for your questions. And don't forget, you can find out all our information that you need to know about The Closet Geek at theclosetgeek.net. And Christmas is coming. Black Friday is coming. And you need to do all your online Amazon shopping with our Amazon affiliate link.
That's true.
To support the Closet Geek in all our ever doings of the Geeky
Make it
Universe
your bookmark.
World.
our ever-doings. Support our ever-doings.
Ever-doings.
Support our ever-doings.
Excuse me, I have some ever-doings to do.
Well, we have some ever-doings to go.
Painful.
Thank you once again. We are the Four Horsemen of Geek minus one because John's not here. But we always remind you to wave your geek flag proudly.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.